Now to the US. It's been an interesting 24 hours for President Donald Trump, who had plenty to rejoice over earlier today as the Republican-controlled Senate voted to acquit him on two articles of impeachment sanctioned by the Democrats last year. Both parties split their votes between party lines, with all Democratic senators voting guilty, while Republican senators equally consistent in voting not guilty, except for Mitt Romney, who surprisingly sided with his opponents on one of the articles. This followed Trump's third State of the Union address yesterday, which raised quite a few eyebrows. Elliot Brennan is Research Associate at the United States Studies Center, and he discussed his analysis with The Wire's Jared McLaughlin.
This State of the Union was quite remarkable. It was really Donald Trump showing off all his years of experience in the television entertainment industry. I can't think of any other State of the Union that has had, I guess you could call them stunts, like a Presidential Medal of Freedom awarded during the address by the First Lady, the opposition leader of Venezuela and claimant to the presidency of that country present in the audience as a guest, and things like you see on YouTube where you have a returned serviceman surprising his family. It was quite a remarkable speech in those terms. And as well, you had the speech bookended by this partisanship that has come to define Washington, especially during the Trump presidency.
Do you feel that there is a stark divisiveness between the Republicans and the Democrats, especially now that Trump has been acquitted from his impeachment?
Partisanship is a remarkable level in the United States at the moment. The United States Study Center did polling late last year of Americans and compared them to Australians, and what we found was that conservative voters in Australia actually shared more in common with Clinton 2016 voters than they did with Trump 2016 voters. So you have this whole section of the country which is just ideologically separate from another section of the party. There's this huge gap in the middle, and the parties that represent both of those constituencies have it within their interests to maintain those sections of the country and only fight for what we estimate to be about 1% of the population, which could credibly change their mind in the next election.
What do you think could be the most disconcerting concern the Democrats have if Trump actually uses this whole fiasco to boost his chances of being re-elected?
We've heard him speak endlessly about the rigged witch hunt and this presidential abuse, he calls it. So it's certain to feature in his campaign material. For the Democrats, though, the argument they've been making, and it's one that's quite convincing, is that they were following process with this impeachment investigation and trial. So the argument they're making is, if these actions weren't a trigger for impeachment, what would be? In terms of that, it obviously doesn't work in the favour of the Democrats for this immediate election if it is seen to be a failure. But I think there was a bit of long-term strategy there. A, thinking about the sanctity of the institution of the United States Congress, but also there is historical precedent for a longer approach to impeachment where the president survives along party lines, but once it gets to the public vote, everything that came up in the impeachment trial is on the minds of the electorate. Now, I'm not sure that will be the case this time around, but certainly if there is a change in attitude in the United States towards what has occurred and how President Donald Trump has used the powers of his presidency, if that starts to become unsavory to the American public, you now have 48 US Republican senators who have their name on record saying that was okay.
Elliot Brennan, Research Associate at the United States Study Center, ending that conversation with The Wire's Jared McLaughlin.